Let's pray. God, thank you for the opportunity to live in community and to be able to worship together. Thanks for bringing people back safely from spring break. Lord, help us to finish strong the rest of this semester in a way that honors you. I pray that you bless our speaker this morning and help each one of us to hear the words that you have for us individually as we listen to what he has to challenge us with. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You can sit down. First of all, let me welcome you back from spring break and add that. I'm sure some of you would have liked a little extension, but it's quiet around here without you here. Asbury literally had people all over the world. I'm looking forward to hearing stories from the teams in Mexico and Argentina and Ecuador. And I think we had a team in Canada and Chicago and Camden, maybe even a team in Nicholasville. I don't know. Also, I heard there were rumors of teams in various places around the Florida coast on the beaches. We'll get some of those too. While you were gone, some of us who held the fort down had a little local high school excitement with our local team going to the Sweet 16 in the Final Four. Those of you, thank you. I had a son that played, so we got to take some Kentucky religious experience with 20,000 of our closest friends in Rupp Arena. You know, if all of us would get as excited about our walk with the Lord as we do during some of those sporting events, it'd be a different life here, wouldn't it? I was starting to reflect on that a little bit. Though our speaker here this morning in his own right was, or still is, a basketballer, he gets excited about what the Lord has in God's Word. Reverend Delano Robinson in college was actually on a nationally ranked basketball team. And when we were in college together, I got to see some of those skills, but I also got to see an incredible fire for the Word that has only increased over his time. He had an excitement and a tenacity about his walk with Christ, even as a college student. Well, 20 years have passed, and since that time, he's deepened in his wisdom and application of that Word. And God's taken him along a path that has seen him as a Christian school administrator, seen him as a chaplain for a professional sports team, a baseball team in California. And now he's a senior pastor at a racially diverse church in Cincinnati called the Great Commission Bible Church. Delano is no stranger to Asbury College. He's spoken here on a number of times. He's helped us with some summer youth leadership programs. And I'm excited to have him here. And I hope you'll listen to him and listen to what the Lord has to say through him. And welcome my brother and friend, Reverend Delano Robinson.
Thanks, Dr. Mark Troyer, my great friend from years back. It's good to be back here at Asbury with you for us to share some Word of God with each other. Some years ago in the great city of Chicago, there was an event that happened. It was around 1982 where there were people going to the grocery store to buy Tylenols. And upon buying Tylenols, someone had put some arsenic in these Tylenol bottles. And about 7 people died. What they believed in was that the Tylenol was safe. They looked on the outside of it and believed that it was just Tylenol, but it wasn't. You see, what was inside of those particular bottles was insufficient. I liken that true story to what I want to talk about for the next several minutes about the Christian life. You're at this fine institution, Asbury College, and you're being taught the Word of God, and you're being given a Christian worldview. And yet somehow the world out there is going to pressure you into believing that the Word of God is only good enough for going to Asbury College. Only good enough for Sunday morning church services. But I want to raise your spirits today. I want to raise your mind that the Word of God is sufficient for every spiritual problem, issue in your life, for faith and practice. This Word of God, this Bible that you carry around, this Bible that you study is a great, great arsenal for your spiritual life. You see, I believe that the Bible teaches that the Scriptures are true regarding all things of matter of faith and practice. It is more capable of producing righteousness in the needs in the life of every believer. Scripture is sufficient in itself because it provides wisdom. If anybody is in despair, go to the Word. If anybody is confused, go to the Word. If anybody has fear, go to the Word. If anybody has anxiety, go to the Word. Why? Because the Word of God talks about the all-sufficient Christ. In Isaiah 9:6, that wonderful Old Testament verse that reminds us throughout the many things it says that Christ Jesus is a mighty counselor. What that means, his words that he has to share with us have power and life. So the sufficient Christ has given us his sufficient word. The greatest delight will be on the professors of this fine institution will be that you will take the word of God with you out in life. That you will treasure the word of God and apply it to every circumstance and situation in your life. The word of God is sufficient. And I want to say this, it's not the word of God plus anything else. For faith and practice and godliness and righteousness, the word of God is what we need to consume and eat. An Old Testament writer said this, I have consumed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The word of God is so powerful, it's so wonderful. So I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Is the verses I want to deal with this morning in our minutes together. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And it's probably one of the most important scriptures in the entire Word of God. For the Bible says great things about itself and about God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. I want to share this with you. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Of course, as you know the context here, Paul is writing to his young understudy Timothy. And he's passing on the mantle. Paul is going to be dying pretty soon. And he says to Timothy, I'm going to give you some instructions about what's really important in ministry and what's most important in life. And he elevates the word of God. And he says, you know firsthand, Timothy, this word of God that your grandmother knew. They taught you the word of God. And this word of God, when you heard the word of God, God used it sovereignly in your life to bring you to salvation. The word of God, first of all, folks, saves people. It saves people. God's word is holy. The holy scriptures here, he talks about in verse 15. The word of God is holy. It's exalted above anything else. You remember that example in Isaiah 6, chapter 6, verse 5, and Isaiah's taken up to heaven. And he sees these seraphim and cherubim, and they're awesome creatures. And they see them just going around, and they're just awesome. And he's just mesmerized and stupefied. What was going on? But when you look in that context, you see these holy creatures are saying, holy, 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 back and forth to one another. And when you really look at the text, it's so great because one is saying, holy, 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 and the other one's looking at him saying, no, holy, holy, holy. And the other one goes back and forth. He says, no, you don't understand. Holy, holy, holy. The other one says, no, you don't get it yet. It's holy, holy, holy. Isaiah was taken up and he understood the holiness of God. The word of God is helpful. It changes lives. It leads people to salvation. The message that's in the gospel, the message that's in the Bible, reveals the love and grace and mercy of the forgiveness and redemption of God from sin to those who trust in Him. It's the gospel that people need. It's the gospel that needs to go out. Some of you have gone on mission trips. What'd you give them? You didn't give them your perspective. You didn't give them your opinion. Hopefully and prayerfully, you gave them the gospel that will lead them to salvation, that they might be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen. It leads to salvation. That's what man needs. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His own begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. You got to believe in it. Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. And with the mouth you make confession, resulting in salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation. The word of God is sufficient to give man salvation, to deliver him from his sin. I don't know if this happened to you, but it happened to me some time ago. Somebody, while I was at a restaurant, brought my lunch. And when I was about to pay for my lunch, the waiter told me, "You don't have to pay for it. It's been taken care of." Now, having that news, it would be foolish for me to argue with the waiter, right? That my food has been paid for, right? Because I thought I needed to pay for it. I'm saying, what do you mean it's paid for? I didn't pay it. That would have been foolish for me to go back and forth to do that. Well, just like that, God has offered salvation to man. Has been paid by the cross of Christ. You don't have to argue about it. It's already been taken care of. All you got to do is accept it. Just like I accepted that free lunch, all you got to do is accept the free gift of God through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through the means of Jesus the Christ, by means of the cross. But there's three things I want to get to about this passage that's very important. I want to raise your vision. I want to raise your vision of God to know that this Bible that you carry and this Bible that you read and the Bible that you study, it is the greatest thing on the face of the earth. You got to treasure it. You got to put it in your heart. You got to love it more than anything else, because it is your sufficiency. It is your lifeblood. It is your lifeline. You have to believe it. First thing Paul wanted Timothy to know, and he wants us to know, is found in verse 16. That is, understand who the author of the scriptures is. Understand it. In other words, the Bible was written by God. God is the author. And He's the only credible person to have written this divine truth. First of all, he says all scripture from Genesis to Revelation, all of it is from God. It's all from God. It's a wonderful thing to know that this book was not written by man, but it was written by God. All of it. Every jot and tittle, every word was written by God. He says that's the sum of the scriptures, but then he goes on and says, the source of the scriptures is by God. It was God-breathed or inspired. Scripture is all from God, and it's all about God. It is breathed out by God, literally in the Greek text. Breathed out, that word inspired means breathed out. God, what we have is God's literally breathe out words. He gave this to men, and men wrote down what God told them to say. This is not a compilation of man's thoughts and opinions and feelings and ideas. No, it is the word of God. These are the thoughts of God that you and I hold on these in our Bibles. You imagine that? We know God is invisible and God is up in heaven, but we have him so close to us in the word of God. Because the word of God reveals who he is. Who he is. This Bible, this word of God, is the inerrant, verbal, authoritative, inspired word of God. It's a word that is filled with wisdom and not opinions. One key text that we need to understand about this that you would want to put down and write down or just put on your iPod or text this. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. This is something you want to really keep before you. And it says this. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is a word from God. It's God speaking. So when you get up in the morning and you have your devotions, that's when God can talk to you. Y'all do that, right? Yeah. You open the Bible every now and then, and right? Raise your level is understanding. Because see, I went to a Christian college. I know how the Bible can become just another textbook. But I'm telling you, it's much more than another textbook. It's life. And when you get it in your spirit, understand, all this school is trying to do is prepare you to go out in that world that doesn't care nothing about God and doesn't care anything about his word. But they're going to be challenging you, because they're going to say, well, now you don't have the college telling you, you ought to be having your devotions and you ought to be studying the Bible. No, you're going to be on your own. And you want to treasure it and find the truths in here that are so, so wonderful. But you say, why are you so excited about it's inspired by God? Well, let me ask you this question. What do you know about God? Do you know that God is almighty? That God is the mighty counselor? Do you know that God is the creator? Do you know that God is a deliverer? Do you know that God is eternal and he's faithful and he's good and he's great and he's holy and he's invisible and he's immutable and he's just and he's light and he's majestic and he's merciful and he's there's none like him. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's perfect, he's peace, he's righteousness, he's royalty, he's a redeemer, he's a savior, he's truth, he's wisdom, he's wonderful, and he's Yahweh, the God above all gods. That's who God is. So when you open this Bible, that's the God you're finding in this book that wrote it. That's an awesome man. Right? So that's who you're going, and you open the Bible, and that's who you're encountering when you open the Bible. You're encountering God. The second thing that Paul gives to Timothy is not only understand who the author of the scripture is, because see, it's very important to understand who the author is, because it's like, for example, you picking up a book that was authored by Michael Jordan on basketball versus picking up a book written by Osama bin Laden on the patriotism of the United States of America. You wouldn't buy that, would you? Why? Because you know who the author is, and you know there's a disconnect going on somewhere. It's very important. But this was written by God himself, breathed out to man as they dictated his words down. The second thing he says in verse 16 is undertake the applicability of the scriptures. Say, what is that? What I'm trying to say here is this. The Bible is profitable, as it says. It's beneficial. It's useful. It's helpful. It's productive. It's, is sufficient for sanctification. We covered in verse 15 where we found the word of God leads people to believe in God. The gospel leads people to believe and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. But it's not only good to, the word of God is not only good to save you, but it's good enough to also sanctify you, to make you holy and produce righteousness and godliness in your life, to keep you straight on the pathway of living for God. So he says, undertake applying the scriptures in your life. Boy, that's where the tough part comes, right? You can sit there and listen to preaching. You can go to church and listen to preaching, but the whole thing is, what you gonna do when you get out of church? What you gonna do when you get out of chapel? What you gonna do when you get out of school? What you gonna do with all the principles and precepts and Bible that you have learned? What you gonna do now? Paul tells Timothy, the word of God is applicable to every spiritual aspect of your life. It's very helpful, productive in your life. First of all, he says, teaching. And it's profitable for teaching. That is, we need to pursue a thorough knowledge of it. We need to pursue a thorough knowledge of it. Here in the text, it's not a method of teaching. It's talking about the content of teaching. What it means is, it's really a word that captures this all. It's talking about doctrine, biblical truths that anchor the spiritual life. That the Bible is good for doctrinal truths that guide your life forever. It's divine instruction from God. Very important. He goes on and he says that reproof. That is, that we are to position it, position the word of God that it can convict us of sin, to reproof. That is, it shows us where we're wrong at. It shows where we have misbehaved or where we have fallen into sin. You remember the story of the Wizard of Oz? Yeah, how many of y'all have seen that? Wizard of Oz? You remember when the wicked witch goes to the mirror? Said, mirror, mirror, on the wall, who's the? Come on now, help me out. Fair. Right, who's the fairest on the wall? Right? Looking in the mirror, and the mirror answers back, what? The good witch. Okay, let me help y'all out. Y'all a little slow. Right? And so what happens? The mirror didn't lie, did it? The mirror told the truth. Told the wicked witch, you not all of that. Well, you know what? The word of God, it says in James, is like a mirror. Because when you look in it, it will point out to you what you really look like. What you look like spiritually. You can't get away from it. You know, some people break their mirrors in their houses, right? They're afraid to see what they really look like. But that's what the word of God does. It does that. Another thing he says is correction. That is, we are to place the word of God to straighten us out. See, the word of God not only gives you truths to live by and not only points out what we are wrong, but also gives us the right direction to get on the right path. When you leave sometime today or you go home or wherever you go, when you're driving on the freeway, there are lanes, right? Some of y'all know that there's lanes on the freeway. And those lanes are there to help keep us from going all over the place, right? Swerving, hitting other cars. That's Paul's point. The word of God is like the lines that point out what lane you're supposed to stay in. And as long as you stay in that lane, you're able to get to your destination safely. And so Paul is saying, spiritually speaking, God's word does that. Allows us to stay in our lanes, that we might be victorious in our Christian life. Then he goes on, he says, training. That is, we need to practice it to grow us up. Now, there's different texts I want to mention about this. But understanding this word training is a word that is used for instruction in bringing up a child. That the word of God is ongoing. It keeps giving you what you need to grow up and be found mature. It nourishes you. And it gives us some depth to our holiness as we encounter the word of God in our lives. Now, there's a couple of things. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal does a young man make his way pure? By keeping it according to the word." And then it goes on in verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby." We're to be growing in our Christian life. We're to be growing in our lives with Jesus Christ. One of the key texts in all the Bible that is on the same level of the sufficiency of Christ is Psalm 19. And in Psalm 19, I'm just going to read some of it to you, but it's a fascinating passage. And when you get some time, you ought to read Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. It's magnificent. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the cone. By them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So important. The word of God is applicable to our lives. Because you know what? The word of God has authority. It has authority. I remember this story about a captain on the sea with his ship. He was sailing. And he saw a light in the distance. And so it was getting closer, and he was afraid that they were going to collide. And so he signals to them, to that light ahead. He says, "Please move to 10 degrees south. For I'm afraid that we're going to collide if you don't move." And so they signal back to him, "No, you move 10 degrees north. Okay, you got that." Well, this guy was getting kind of mad. He signals back to them, "No, I said for you to move 10 degrees south." They, you know, signaled him back and said, "No, I say again to you, you move 10 degrees north." He said, "You understand." He signals to them one last time, "I am the captain of the United States Navy. I said, move 10 degrees south." They said, "Huh, no problem. What is this guy on the other line here?" They signaled back to him and said, "Please, sir, move 10 degrees north. You might be the captain of the United States Navy, but we the lighthouse and we don't move." They had absolute authority. God's word has absolute authority. God has spoken and he has not stuttered. He is in charge of everything. Lastly, use the adequacy of the scriptures. Use the adequacy of the scriptures. What Paul is saying to us is make sure you take what you know about God and put it into practice. Put it into practice. Because he says you have everything you need. That's the word adequate. It refers to a person who is being completely or proficient in everything one is called to be and to do. Did you get that? The word of God will equip you spiritually to be everything that God wants you to be and to do everything he's calling you to do. That's very important in a Christian school like this. That the word of God is promising you, if you study God's word and you get the word of God in you and you connect with God, God will make sure you have everything you need and that you will accomplish everything he's asking you to do. Because in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, we have everything pertaining to faith and godliness that we need. The second thing he says, you have every principle for living godly. That is equipped. You are equipped. That word means to be outfitted, fully furnished, and fully supplied. It's like when a ship went out to sea, they made sure they had everything they absolutely needed to be able to survive on the sea. And that word is taken spiritually for you. That the word of God gives you everything you need. You are decked out in all the spiritual things you need in Jesus Christ. Then he says, you have been given every solution to life's trials. Life's trials, all good works. You see, if you're called to do a certain thing from God, God's going to give you the ability to do that. He's going to work it out. You have everything you need. Let me get to this because my time is going here. Anybody need peace today? God says, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because you trust in me. Trust in me forever, for in me, Jehovah, God is everlasting strength. Anybody worried about something? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. Anybody in trouble? John 16:33, these things I have written unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Anybody lacking some power? Remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Huh? Whatever you might find yourself needing, God has it, and he has said it in his word. He has everything. He's given it to you. I don't know what you're struggling with today. I don't know if you're in despair or you're discouraged about something. But what I want to encourage you, young people, go to the Word of God and open it and read it and consume it. And I guarantee you, God will lift your spirit and lift your heart and change your mind and give you victory. Let me end with this. There was a commercial some time ago about some Prego spaghetti sauce. And it came on, the mother's in there cooking, and the little boy comes into the house like, that smells good. He said, what you doing, mama? Well, you know, I'm cooking some spaghetti. And then he begins to question, mama, is there meat in the sauce? She said, it's in there. Is there mushrooms in the sauce? She said, it's in there. Is there these things in the sauce? She says, it's in there. He said, mommy, is this in there? She said, it's in there. Just like that. The word of God supplies everything you need. Anybody need some victory? It's in there. Anybody need some peace? It's in there. Anybody need some healing? It's in there. Anybody need some deliverance? Whatever it is, it's in there. Use the word of God and his promises to you as a believer to have a victory. I want to leave you with something today. I'm done with the text. But I want to teach you a verse in 1 minute. I need you to be right here. All right? Are you ready? The verse is James 1:22. It goes like this. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. All right? But I need a little beat. Can you do this? Come on now. Then I'm going to need you to repeat after me, okay? James 1:22. James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceive yourself. James 1:22. James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving yourself. All right, amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your promises. Father, we thank you for your word from heaven that is sufficient to meet the spiritual needs of the life in the life of the believer for holiness and righteousness and salvation. Father, empower these students to keep on studying for you, that you might get the glory out of their lives, whatever you have called them to be and do for you, Father. Let them know that this word of God from you is from you, and there's nothing greater. And so, Father, we thank you for the word that we have. Plant it deep in our hearts, that it might dwell in us richly, that it might produce praise in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed day in the Lord. You are dismissed.